Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody gonna find it, I guess.
Cover version, of course, by Black Mamba. Of course, a few other people have done it as well. Rainbow has covered Highway Star, but that's Ritchie Blackmore. He wrote the song with the old Deep Purple guys. Chickenfoot, Sammy Hagar, Joe Satriani, Mark Anthony of Van Halen. It's one of the high-powered all-star bands put together, so a good song. Never ends. Good for a motorsports talk show entrance theme. That I'm Fueled by Metallica. Anyway, I'm Vince Bonfiglio, your host. It is Tuesday, April the 24th. Yesterday was my wedding anniversary, 24 years. Next year's the silver one. But anyway, enough of that. Chitter chatter. Let's go to coverage of what happened over the weekend. We had a lot of stuff going down. Barco was in action. NHRA at the Spring Nationals in Texas. NASCAR at Richmond. It's Friday night and Saturday night. Back under the lights for the May race. April race, excuse me. Matter of fact, the last race, the only race I got to go to at Richmond covering the races was a night race. And then a couple of years ago, they went back to the day spring race. Anyway, apparently that wasn't a popular thing. So they brought it back to at night. And guess what? No weather problems. Those that did have a weather problem, though, was the IndyCar Series at the Barber Motorsports track in Alabama. And that was postponed and run yesterday. But all was said and done. Joseph Newgarden wound up taking home the trophy. Ryan Hunter-Reay was the second place finisher. James Hinchcliffe taking the third spot. That's pretty good after doing all those Honda commercials. Robert Wickens was fourth. Sebastian Bourdais fifth. Scotty Dixon back in the top ten, sixth. Graham Rahal seventh. Takuma Sato in the eighth spot. Ninth, Simone Pagenaud. And 10th is Marco Andretti. 23 cars in the field. Winner's average speed was 93.3 miles an hour. Time of the race, 2 hours, 1 minute, and 14 seconds. We'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go into decimal places over tenths, hundredths, thousandths, and ten thousandths of a second. Margin of victory, 9.9 seconds. They almost 10-second victory. Two cautions for 14 laps. Fairly clean out on the road course in Birmingham. Four lead changes amongst two drivers. And that was Newgarden and Sebastian Bourdais were battling over the lead with the last lead change coming up on lap 76. And Newgarden held it for the final six laps to take the checkered flag. And the point standings, Newgarden leads Alexander Rossi by 13 points. Sebastian Bourdais is third. Graham Rahal, fourth. They're tied. Hinchcliffe is a point behind. Ryan Hunter-Reay is five back of Hinchcliffe. Scotty Dixon, Wickens, Marco Andretti, and rounding out the top 10 in points is Will Power. That was the battle comes down to the finish that they keep battling out. The next race is May 12th for the IndyCar Grand Prix. So that's going to kick off official run for the 500. The Grand Prix is going to be at Indianapolis. So you figure they're going to get to Indy and stay there for the rest of the month, culminating on the 27th for the 102nd running of the Indy 500. Of course, that will be held on ABC. You can catch it all there. So, IndyCar out of the way. And then the next race after the Indy 500, the June 2nd and 3rd, which is a week later, for the Chevrolet Duel in Detroit. So that's two races, one on Friday, one on Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, at Belle Isle Park in Detroit. Okay, Saturday and Sunday, my bad. Both at 3:30 p.m., they'll be back-to-back. But they do a couple of those a year, and that's one of them. So they run the duels, the duel events, two races in one weekend. Not duel events in one day. In the ARCA series, the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers 200 was held on Sunday, and it's in Salem, Indiana at the Salem Speedway. Finishing first was Christian X. Zane Smith, second. Sheldon Creed is third. Josh Berry, fourth. Fifth, Chase Purdy. Sixth is Riley Herbst, Gus Dean. Seventh, Colby Howard. Brandon Grosso is ninth. He's out of Bellmead, New Jersey, driving for Kenny Schrader. And rounding out the top ten is Chandler Smith. Will Kimmel, Natalie Decker, the only girl in the field, started 12th, finished 17th, driving for Venturini Motorsports. Wonder when she's going to make the jump to NASCAR. Somebody got to snatch her up. The margin of victory was 1.6 seconds, five cautions for 40 laps. Race took an hour and a half. Average speed, 73 miles an hour. And there were three lead changes amongst three drivers. And we'll check on the top 10 in ARCA series points. After three events, Sheldon Creed leads the top spot. Zane Smith is second. Riley Herbst is third. Natalie Decker in the fourth spot. She's 135 back of the top spot. The highest finishing woman in ARCA in the standings after a full season was Shauna Robinson. And then second was, and she finished sixth. So second was Sarah Cornett-Ching. I think she was seventh or eighth. Let me go back. 2016, I think she ran the full season. So Natalie's got a shot to be the highest finishing female in the series. Okay, it wasn't 2016. Let me go back to 2015. Yeah, seventh. And she wound up getting a concussion and had to pull out of the driver's seat. But she was the second highest finishing woman. It was Shauna Robinson, sixth. Sarah Cornett-Ching, seventh. And now Natalie Decker is running in the fourth spot. So, but she's still got a few races to go yet. So we just can't pencil her in, but she's got a lot of talent. She's in a good car, so you can look forward to her making the climb. And we'd like to see her do it anyway. We'll just keep an eye on her. I'm still trying to get her on the show. I've emailed her PR rep, and that's who they told me to send it to. But so far, it's a no-go. Yeah, I'm sorry I haven't had a guest in a little while, but a lot of stuff to get to, so I wanted to make sure I got it all in. On to the NHRA out at the Spring Nationals at Royal Purple Raceway in Baytown, Texas. Several people having good runs this year. Brittany Force, after a wild wreck early on, got to the finals facing Terry McMillan, who has been coming on strong the past couple years. I remember when Terry would be like making the field and going out in round one. I mean, he qualified 12th. Brittany Force qualified the second. I mean, the top two spots in qualifying were both ladies. Leah Pritchett taking the top spot. And Brittany Force taking the number two. Tony Schumacher was the third spot. And those were the only ladies in the field. And both of them usually have a history of going head-to-head. I know there's a little bit of an estrogen battle going on. Brittany driving for her dad, and Leah Pritchett driving for Don Schumacher. They had their issues. And Don Schumacher criticized John Force overpaying to get one of his old crew chiefs back in the fold. Goes to show you. And then with Brittany taking the championship last year, it was pretty cool because Robert Height won two championships last year. I mean, not last year, two championships. And he's a relative, but he's not direct family. John Force has 16 bunny car wins. Ashley just missed it in 09 when Robert Height took it. And then Courtney came a little close in a funny car. Brittany, who went to Top Fuel, decided to buck the family system, wound up winning the championship last year, which in a way, gave John Force Racing to Johnny Force, who got an honorary doctorate, two owners' championships because Robert Height won Funny and Brittany won Top Fuel. So there's two right there. And that's the way to do it. But anyway, the road to hoe with Terry McMillan. He wound up going up against Antron Brown in round one, which is not somebody you really want to face in the first round, but he got it done, 377 to Antron's 477, Antron losing a little traction. Antron got the jump off the tree and then up against Billy Torrance, who's Steve Torrance's dad, back in the game. 376 to Billy's 377. And then up against Leah Pritchett. And that would look like a pedal fest with Pritchett having even a bigger issue because McMillan had a 512. Not something you usually see in a Top Fuel dragster. And then Leah, who was a little slower off the tree. Terry had an 082. Leah had a 096. And she wound up with a 10.49. So that's almost like a crawl down the drag strip. Brittany, on the other hand, up against Terry Haddock in round one, made short work of that. She was an 068 off the light. He was a 144 off the light. The ET wasn't even close, about 5 seconds apart. 375 for Brittany, 877 for Haddock. Then up against Doug Kalita, that was a little closer. Doug Kalita got off the light by a big margin with an 062, and Brittany wound up with an 091. So you look at 0.03 of a second, it's like taking a nap at the tree. Kalita with a 381 with a 9. Brittany having a good run with a 373 with a 9. Was able to make up the difference and take Kalita at the light. And then going up against Sarge, no small feat there. Sarge off the light with an 070, Brittany with an 089. 376 with a 6 for Brittany, but the Sarge, Tony Schumacher, some traction issues with a 5074 setting the stage for Terry McMillan and Brittany for showdown. Off the tree, pretty even, 076 for Brittany, 080 for Terry. Phenomenal there. Come down with Terry McMillan posting a 381 with an 8. But Brittany getting it done at a 376 with a 2. Under 300. 299.46 mile an hour top speed, which is kind of rare for a Top Fuel Nitro car. Low ET of the day was Leah Pritchett with a 369 with a 7 in round 1. Doug Kalita had the best reaction time with an 037, and the top speed was also by Kalita with 329 miles an hour. And two funny car. Number one qualifier, Robert Height, in the finals against DHL driver for Kalita Motorsports, J.R. Todd. Number two qualifier was Courtney Force. Where was Daddy John in that? John didn't even make the field, which is kind of rare. It's rare you see John Force not making the top 16. Robert Height and J.R. Todd decided to put on the show. J.R. Todd qualifying 10th with 051 against round one against Tommy Johnson Jr. with a 3.955 for Todd and a 3.989 for Tommy Johnson. Big Todd not only had a 051, but he added to that with his 3/100ths of a second differential. He had 3/100ths off the tree and 3/100ths down the track for what looked like a bigger lead. Deal up against Jeff Deal in round two. 090 off the light for Todd. Jeff Deal 142. 398 with a 5 for Todd and 917 for Jeff Deal. And then up against Tim Wilkerson, two Fords running. One was Wilkerson, the other was Bob Tasca, who was in the event. Wilkerson had an 088, the Todd's 056, but Todd had the quicker ET by a lot, a 4017 to Wilkerson's 660. Robert Height, on the other hand, in the top spot up against Todd Simpson and run round one. Simpson didn't make the light. So Robert Height with a 387 with an 8 and a 114 reaction was able to get lane choice over Johnny Lindbergh, who beat Bob Tasca in round one. But Johnny Lindbergh did get an 066 off the tree to Height's 073. Height's 395 dispatched Lindbergh's 4.00, setting the stage for the semis against fast Jack Beckman. Robert Height with an 064 to fast Jack, quick off the light, 042. Beckman with a 411, and Robert Height had a 395. So up in the finals, this one was fairly close. 048 off the tree for Robert Height. The champ, J.R. Todd, at 051. We're talking 3/1000ths of a second. Not much there. Robert Height, though, with a 399 with a 3. Wasn't enough to get past J.R. Todd's 395 with a 5. So that 4/100ths of a second ET was the difference in the field. Robert Height did have the low reaction time with a 78 in round one. Jack Beckman with the quicker reaction time off the tree with a 042. J.R. Todd with the best top speed at 321. And on to pro stocks. Finals came down to Matt Hartford versus our pal Eric Enders. And I'll give you the results in a minute. Matt Hartford wound up qualifying 11th and Erica 13th. Erica wound up in round one against her teammate Vincent Nobile, wound up dispatching him the 653.7 to his 653 with a 4, a whole shot win. Nobile with an 021, Erica with an 017. Erica's usually rarely above an 02 off the light. She is not somebody you really want to go against unless you have a really fast car. So she took the whole shot by 3/1000ths of a second. She was slower than her teammate who qualified at number 4, but 4/1000ths of a second off the light was the difference. Round two against Roger Brogdon, Erica with an 014 with a 652 with a 9, Brogdon with an 065, which is a big reaction time, and then he just wound up having issues and wound up 19 with a .24. Then up against Greg Anderson, the guy who didn't want to be that guy, which was the guy when Erica Enders was looking for her first win in the pro stock division. He didn't want to be that guy, but guess what? He was that guy. So there was a little bit of back and forth going there. No way. Erica has told us all about it on the show, and he took a hissy when she was holding the Wally walking by his hauler. But hey, you know, if that's where the photographer wants you to want to take a picture of you, that's where it goes. But Anderson is no slouch off the line either with an 0-28. Erica with a 0-11, which is phenomenal. You know, she can usually nail the double zeros too. She was a tenth quicker with a 6.56 with a 1 to his 6.57 with a 2, propelling her into the final round. Matt Hartford, on the other hand, up against Chris McGahey, who's got a win under his belt, who qualified 6th to 6th and 11th spot. Hartford with a 0.38 to McGahey's 0.52, but the ET was the tail as well, with Hartford with a 6.53 and McGahey with a 6.54, so that 1/100th of a second difference made the whole thing well. Then up against Tanner Gray, Hartford with an 0.48 and a 6.53. Tanner Gray fouled out with a minus 0.11 to a 6.56. He still wouldn't have won unless he got that jump probably on the positive side by a double zero, like a .00 something, because a 3/100th of a second wouldn't have made up the – it's a tough to make up in a hole shot. Then up against Jed Coughlin, which is one of Erica's other teammates. Jed with an 0-12 off the tree, but had issues getting down the track, wound up at a 10.72. Matt Hartford with an 0-31. Had a solid 6.56, taking the win, setting the stage for a whale of a finale. Off the light, Erica Enders, 0.18 reaction time. Pretty good, pretty much what she's been doing all day. Matt Hartford with an 0.55. That's a pretty big gap off the tree there. But unfortunately for Erica, her 6.57 with a 0, which was a good ET, wasn't enough to take the win from Hartford, who had a 6.52 with a 2. We're looking at a 5/100th of a second difference in the ET and almost 4/100ths of a second off the tree. That wasn't enough to give Erica the win. Otherwise, she would have had that one. But that's how it goes. Standings right now, Tony Schumacher leads the top spot in top fuel tying. Steve Torrence, Antron Brown is 61 back. Clay Milliken is fourth, minus 76. Fifth, Doug Kalita, 81. Sixth, Leah Pritchett, 101. Brittany Force with a win this year, up to 7th, Richie Crampton, 8th, 9th, Terry McMillan, and Scott Palmer, 10. In Funny Car, they asked Jack in the top spot over Matt Hagen, a 52-point gap there. J.R. Todd with a win is in 3rd, 68 back. Courtney Force in 4th, 73. Rob Height, 5th, 89. Tommy Johnson Jr. in 6th. We're starting to get over the 100 there, so I won't give you anything on over 100 points back. Ronnie Capps is 7th. 8th, Sean Langdon. 9th, Johnny Lindbergh. And Dell Worsham in the top 10. John Force in 14th. That's hard to believe. Like I said, he wasn't even in the field yesterday. And that's... you don't hear John Force not make an event. And the Pro Stock Division, Pro Stock Motorcycle didn't run, so nothing's changed there from the last event. Bo Butner still holds the top spot over Greg Anderson by 37. Chris McGahey in 3rd. is 44 back. Derek Kramer in fourth, 52 back. Vincent Nobile, who went out a little early, 55. Jason Lyon is sixth, 71 back. Seventh, Erica Anders, she's climbing that ladder, 82 back, 87 back. In eighth is Tanner Gray. Gilman in ninth is 97 back. And then over the 100 mark, the 110 back, I'll give you that one because it is the top 10. And the only one over 100 points back is Alex Laughlin. Jake Coughlin is in 11th, but there's a pretty good gap between 10th and 11th. So, and then Matt Hartford, who won, is in the 12th spot. Again, he's further back out of the top 10 than Jake Coughlin. There's a 31-point gap between 11th and 12th, so. There is issues there that, you know, they got to make up some ground. There's a few races left to go yet, so it's, nobody's out of the woods. And positions 1 through 9 can change because you're looking at anything 100 points back. Figure you get 80 if you win all the way through the finals. So somebody's going to go down early, and that 80 points, if you're looking at two events, if you can have a good run, then you know, you can make up ground like that. So there we have it. Our next event, check the schedule here, is May 4th. No, I take that back. It's April. Is this coming weekend? Sorry about that. I saw April of 2018. It's this coming weekend, the NGK Spark Plugs NHRA 4-Wide Nationals East at the C-Max Dragway. So, the four wides are back. There's only two run a year. One was just run in Vegas, which they just was the first year for them, and this one in April, which has been a mainstay throughout the course of time. So the four wides are back, gets them out of the way early because both tracks have events late in the season. I think they're both in the countdown. Let me just take a quick peek. Countdown to the championships. First off, Maple Grove and Gateway and Texas, the other Texas track. Then we got Z-Max in October. And then right behind that is the Toyota Nationals in Las Vegas. So and then in November you have the final event, which is the Auto Club NHRA Finals at Pomona, the weekend of the November 8th through the 11th, which is birthday, Veterans Day weekend. My birthday, Marine Corps birthday, and Veterans Day. But I don't know if I'd go to Pomona to see that. So, we've looked this weekend about 3 hours south of me at Charlotte for the four wides. And then after that, Atlanta. They're running them pretty close together for a while. And if you want to watch it this weekend, I'll get the TV schedule up here. Friday, we have qualifying, original. Like I said, it's taped. Saturday's qualifying is live on Fox Sports 1. And you have three rounds of qualifying on Fox Sports 2. One round on 2 on the 28th, 29th. And then the finals, the same day tape from 6 to 9 p.m. on Sunday, Fox Sports 1. No live racing this week. They had it this past weekend, so everything's on Fox Sports 1, and at least watching dragsters qualify isn't like watching paint dry, because, like, boom, you're down. And they're going to run them four wide for qualifying as well. Qualifying, it just depends on, you know, getting track field, getting your ET. They're not competing against anybody but the clock. And then the finals, 6 to 9, because they'll probably run it earlier from like noon to 7, or like noon to 6, and then or noon to 3. Depends on how many hours. Depends on how fast they get through. Four wides usually go pretty quick. Figure you run 8 sets, so that's 8 pairs, so that's 2 fours, so you get the idea. Then the one from each side of the ladder, the last two meet the last, the final two from the other side, and then they go 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I guess I'll be watching that right after Talladega, which will be live, because that's where NASCAR is going this weekend. Going from a 3/4 mile track to the longest, the biggest track on the circuit, and I'd say the fastest, but not so much anymore. That would have to go to probably Fontana in Michigan, because they're unrestricted. Anyway, let's see. The Xfinity Series Friday night turned into be win by a rookie. Christopher Bell driving the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's running for points. Beat Noah Gragson, who's not running for points. Both have faced each other in the truck series. I think Noah is still running for points in the truck series. So he doesn't get any points, even though he takes the stage position, but not a stage win. So, but Christopher Bell is 3 times for 120 of the 250 laps. So that's almost half the race there. So he takes 5 playoff points. Which helps a long way into winning a championship. Elliott Sadler in the 3rd spot. Matt Tift was 4th, Austin Cindric, 5th. Cole Custer, 6th. Ryan Truex, good run for him, 7th. Jeremy Clements, who made the playoffs last year with a win course in Canada, coming home 8th. Good finish for Jeremy. Good to see him win. Ryan Reed in the 9th spot. Brandon Jones rounds out the top 10. The race took 2 hours, 0 minutes, and 36 seconds. Margin of victory, pretty close, almost not quite half a second gap. Gragson led twice for 10 laps. And your next biggest lap leader was at 43 laps, which was Cole Custer. He led once for that amount of time, but it was Christopher Bell's day. Bell's 2nd Xfinity Series win. Stage winners was the 21 car of Daniel Hemric and the 1 car of Elliott Sadler. So both of them get 1 playoff point. 9 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. 5 cautions for 39 laps. 2 of those were stage finishers. In the points right now, the only 2 people with wins, actually, the only 3 people with wins is Ryan Preece, but he's not running a full schedule for a championship. But he did win $100,000 Dash for Cash. Elliott Sadler Christopher Bell leads Tyler Reddick, the only two Xfinity Series regulars qualified in the playoffs with wins. Bell has a two-point lead over Reddick with the win yesterday. Elliott Sadler, he's in third. Daniel Hemric is in fourth, fifth, Justin Allgaier. Cole Custer, sixth, Ryan Truex, seventh, Spencer Gallagher, eighth, Brandon Jones, ninth, and Matt Tifft, tenth, Ryan Reed, 11th, and Ross Chastain is on the bubble spot in 12th place. Austin Cindric, who's behind him, is 31 points back. No, 11 points back. Excuse me. That can be made up. Going to Talladega, things can change. And let's hear from our winner. Christopher Bell with his crew chief, Jason Ratliff.
Okay, we are with the winners of tonight's 31st annual Toyota Care 250. Driver of the number 20, Ream Toyota, Christopher Bell, and his crew chief, Jason Ratliff. Gentlemen, outstanding finish, outstanding race. Christopher, it's your second win in series. Can you talk about taking your Toyota to victory lane in the Toyota Care 250? Appropriate 1-2 finish by Toyota as well.
Yeah, obviously this is a very important race for Toyota, the whole Toyota Racing Development and Toyota Motorsports or Motor Sales family. So thankfully we had a really good Camry. All of JGR's cars have been really fast for the last couple weeks now, and it's really shown that JGR as a company could have ran 1-2-3 at Bristol and should have ran 1-2 with Brandon Jones and Ryan Preece last week. And then they did run 1-2 with myself and Noah this week. So that says a lot about the guys at the shop building really fast race cars. And thankfully, I'm the guy that gets to drive one of them.
Jason, awesome to see you back in victory lane. Maybe talk about your return. It's been a series with them.
Yeah, it's been since I was here last. But it's been a blast. We've had a super great season so far. A few poles under our belt. Had fast race cars every week. You know, like Christopher says, it's just a testament to all the guys back at the shop, all the hard work. They just keep, you know, improving on these race cars each and every week, and I think it shows. It was a battle tonight, man. We lost a few spots there at one time, and he did a good job of communicating what we need, made some good adjustments on the car, and worked out there in the end. It was a fun night.
Thank you. Any questions for either Christopher or Jason? Raise your hand and get your mic.
There you have Christopher Bell and Jason Ratliff back in the Xfinity Series. On to the Cup race, the main event of the weekend. Martin Truex Jr. took the pole, so it kind of looked like it was going to be a Toyota day, and it was. But late pit stop issues forced Martin Truex to finish 14th. So the one battling, then Truex led four times for 121 laps. Kurt Busch led twice for 98 laps. Joey Logano, twice for 92 laps. So two Fords up there, two Toyotas up there. Kyle Busch, who started 32nd. Which is, nobody's won Richmond be lower than 30th place, so they say. So he wound up taking the checkered flag. Third win in a row, tying him with Kevin Harvick, who won three in a row races 2, 3, and 4. So you've got Kyle Busch with three in a row, Harvick with three in a row. That's only 9 races, so that left Austin Dillon, Martin Truex, and Clint Bowyer as your other 3 winners. But right now, the beginning of the season has been pretty much a battle between 2 guys. Second place finisher, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin. That's his home track there in Richmond. He's not too far from Chesterfield. Finishing third, Joey Logano taking the 4th spot. Kind of thought Logano or Keselowski might have had it. I was leaning toward Keselowski last week, but Logano was 4th. Harvick was 5th. Jimmy Johnson, a good run for him. 6th, a quiet 6th place finish. 7th was Kyle Larson. 8th was Brad Keselowski. 9th, Clint Bowyer, and rounding out the top 10 is Daniel Suarez. Kurt Busch wound up in 11th. Looked like he was going to win, but wasn't to be. 23 cars on the lead lap, with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. being the last guy on the lead lap. Your stage winners were won by the same guy. Joey Logano took both of those. He gets 2 playoff points. Kyle Busch with 5 playoff points. This was Kyle's 46th Monster Energy victory. 38 cars made the field. Usually they run 40. If they have 40 to run the field, 6 cautions for 46 laps. 16 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. Race took 3 hours, 8 minutes, 1 second. Did go into overtime for 2 extra laps. Margin of victory, 0.5 seconds. Chase Elliott could not catch Kyle Busch on the restart and take the lead. He was trying. He's looking for that first win, but it wasn't to be. Points as we see it right now, Kyle Busch leads the points. Kevin Harvick is 2nd by a big gap. 324 to 415 is the difference, with a 91-point gap. But Harvick is technically, points-wise, if you go points alone, 4th spot, but with the 3 wins on the season, he moves to the 2nd spot. Kyle Busch getting the lead spot. The actual point being the tiebreaker. So then you have Clint Bowyer in 3rd, Martin Truex in 4th, and Austin Dillon, the Daytona 500 winner. He's in the 5th spot. And you come up to Joey Logano in 6th. 7th is Brad Kay, Denny Hamlin 8th. 9th is Ryan Blaney. 10th is Kurt Busch. Kyle Larson in 11th. Eric Almirola 12th. Eric Jones in 13th. Alex Bowman 14th. Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson 15th. And rounding out the top 16 playoff contenders, William Byron is driving the 24. So Bowman's in the 88. Byron's in the 24. Get those two confused. They both start with a B. Anyway, let's go to our audio clip with our winning team of Kyle Busch, Joe Gibbs, and Adam Stevens. And I don't know if Kyle is in there yet, or they're going to start off with Adam Stevens or Joe Gibbs. So
okay, we will begin our winner Toyota Owners 400, and we are joined now by the crew chief, the number 18 M&M Flavor Vote Toyota, and Adam Stevens, the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing.
Coach Joe Gibbs. Congratulations. 3 wins in a row. Second time the 18 teams are like, which has done that. But, incredible role. Who wants to get off? Coach, if you want to lead us off in the charge and talk about this dominant streak.
Yeah, I just really want to thank everybody on the race team. Adam leading the show there. He and Kyle have a great chemistry, and I think it's showing. Kyle, you know, I don't know if we've had a run like this the last 7-8 races, and it just really it was a total team effort tonight. Not sure I've ever been to a race where we had 4 of our cars kind of start off where I thought we were going to have a tough night. And they just all kept working, and I think they all finished. Eric finished 13th and Daniel 10th, and then we had Denny 3rd, and then, of course, Dick Kyle a win. It was really a great night for and shows that our guys, just hard work, pit crews, took everybody. I want to thank everybody back at the race shop, JD, and everybody back home. And we love coming to Richmond. I mean, it's just a great place for me personally, because it's close to Redskin Park, and then just great. We have a great fan base here, everybody out there at the end cheering, and just a special night for us.
There you have Joe Gibbs talking about the dominance of his team, or basically one guy on his team. So Kyle's not there. They ought to make that a separate audio, the winner, winning driver. Anyway, this week we go to Talladega, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. took the win in this race last year. He also won the 400 in Daytona in the spring, and then in the second race, where did he wind up? I was leaning towards him. He wound up 26th, got into an accident. But he did qualify 5th. And only led once for 6 laps. So he seems to have a little get together with this one. So Brad Keselowski to win in the playoff race there. Joey Logano was 4th. Where was Joey in race 1? Yep, he was 12th, finished 32nd. He got gathered up in a wreck, but he did leave for 10 laps. Where was Keselowski? I think I picked him last. He was 7th last week, so. You know what? Me and Talladega is such a crapshoot. Ooh, Amarola, 5th. And he was 4th in last year with the Fords, and he's this year he's in a Ford with a better team, so. Do I go with Eric Amarola or not? That's a tough thing to say. I don't know who I'm going to go with. Do I go with Amarola or do I go with Logano or Keselowski? That's a tough call, anyway. I think I'll go with Joey Logano. He usually has a good run. Even though he led 59 laps in the playoff race last year. He didn't make the playoffs. He got bumped for just cheating. Or his team was cheating. So we'll go with Joey L. Kurt Busch usually runs good there, too. Wait, let me see what Kurt finished both races. Anyway, I'll go with Joey Logano this week. All right? Sounds good. Thank you all for listening. I'm Vince Bontigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.